a little dab of what nothing compared to just being in the Word of God and watching the Word of God just make you strong, make your light shine. So I love the Word of God. Amen. This is our third week. We started a series about the church. And to make it real simple, we started it, and it's really about me and my church. Everybody say, me and my church. Okay. And it's about if you are a part of a congregation in a local church, what does that work? Well, I mean, what happens? What does that mean? What is it my responsibility if you are a part of a local church? So week one, just going to summarize, we made a pledge, and it said, I will be a functioning member. And functioning is not just I come and sit, though we are very delighted that you come and sit. I am so glad. Wave at me. Oh, good to see you. Very glad to see you, all right? But that doesn't make you a functioning member. To be functioning, you have to be active. And that's the will of God, not just mine. That's the will of God, so God will bless you. So that was week number one. Last week, we talked about unity and our declaration and our pledge was, I will be a church member who causes unity and strives after unity. And I use the comparison, in a marriage, if you are not in unity, you are not going in the right direction. Anybody? Okay? So if you're not in unity, you're not going in the right direction. So you need to be in unity in your marriage. You'll be going in the right direction and you'll have blessings. Well, that's the same thing in a church. We need to strive to be in unity because God wants to do things in you and through you. And if everybody's doing their own thing, we don't have unity and we can't do the plans and purposes that God has for this particular body. So we want to be in unity, right? Everybody say amen. Good preaching, Pastor D. All right. And you know, it's also, it's unity because when we are walking in unity, we touch people. And when we walk in unity, we touch not only people, but those people are the community. So there's great benefits when we are all striving in unity. We're going to touch the community. And you know, when we start touching a community, things happen. You know, I don't want to wait for the next Brownsville. Anybody know Brownsville Revival? God's waiting for the YCF Revival. And we have it, but he wants to do greater when we're in unity. All right? Now, today I'm going to be talking about me and my church, but the topic is serving. And I can tell you all the different ways to serve. That's okay. But I really want to talk about the attitude. Everybody say attitude. Now put a little attitude on the attitude. Attitude. Okay, I want to talk about the attitude in serving. All right? Now, it's a good idea to take notes. I all told you get 10 extra points every time you do when you get to heaven. But taking notes helps remind you, all right? You know, sometimes your spouse is telling you something and you get out the door and you go, I don't remember what she said, all right? That's why she gives you a note. So take notes, all right, everybody? First, I want to say before I talk about serving, is that we here at YCF value you. Everybody say value. Value. I know, we value you. And it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. We value you. And it doesn't matter how old you are. Don't be thinking, well, I'm like a fine wine. I'm mature. Okay, I'm not going to call you oldies. You're mature. So some people think, well, I'm mature, and there's nothing left for me to do. Not. There's plenty. Because can you imagine just God going, oh, they're the mature ones. Move them over. No good. No, God values you till the day you're born, till the day you, in heaven, he keeps valuing you. But you are just as valuable as the young folks and our old folks. So much that we value everybody. Why do you think we have children's ministry? We value our children. We value them. We value our babies. We value our youth. That's why we have Revolution Youth Church. We value everybody. And you are important to be in a local church, being active, and being a member. Because you're valuable, okay? Now just go, wow, I am valuable. Wow, I love it. I love it. Okay, now, we value so much you that we believe that when you start being functioning, that God will radically change you and the people around you. All right? He wants to do that. That's what he does. And that's part of the reason why we value you. You okay? Amen. Now, today we're going to talk again about the attitude behind serving. And, you know, I started spouting off some things about a survey I read. Part of it was depressing. The other part was like, oh my gosh, I'm embarrassed. And as I was reading it, there was a survey that they gave to churches, denomination churches, little churches, big churches. And the survey all said this about attitude. Now, really, it was churches. Let me say this. This is churches in America, all right? Because sometimes the way they do it overseas is like, wow. But this was, they did a survey of churches in America. And they found out that this attitude starts cooking. It says, after they go to church for so many years to a particular place, they start thinking, hey, this is my church. I have been serving here. I have been giving here long. I have been going here really long. And I should have things my way. My way or the highway. And what happens is that's sort of an attitude of my, I'm going to change it a little bit. I should have things my preference. My preference. You know, is that my, okay? That's what sort of happens. And, you know, it happens. Now, you think, of course not you. Of course not nobody at this church. Of course. But there's a lot of people, listen, you want to hear about an attitude or a mentality of my preference? People who go shopping for a church. They go shopping for a church because they want to find one that meets their preferences. I want one that has a coffee bar in the foyer because, you know, I am not awake until 11:30. So I am shopping for a church that serves coffee. I am shopping for a church that does music my way. I am shopping for a church. Okay, you get it? That's an attitude that I'm entitled because I've been going, not the church shoppers, but how about the church members? I have been going here since the creation of time, and I should have things my way. Matter of fact, the way we used to do it. And we get that icky attitude. Everybody say attitude. Attitude. That is an attitude, you guys. Woo. Okay. But here's what God wants from everyone. And it doesn't matter what church you belong to. This is what God wants from everyone. One, he wants you to serve. Two, he wants you to be involved. That's sort of what serving is. Three, he wants you to give. All right? And I didn't say the word money. I mean give. All right? Give of your heart. Basically, he wants you to be a participant. That's what God wants from everybody, no matter what church you are planted in. All right? Now, of course, he wants you to be fed. Everybody say fed. All right? And I'm pretty sure there's nobody starving here because we don't feed you the word. You all look a little plump. Good. This is good. This is the one time plump is good. All right? Okay. So there's nobody here that leaves that they're starved. We feed you the word, right? Okay. We feed you the word. But what happens next? What happens after you're fed? Burp. Okay. No. That's not what happens. Okay. Oh my gosh. Is it about my preferences? Is it about my preference of music? My preference of what they're teaching in the men's group? No, all right? See, really, what really matters in church, the real get down to basics is, are we portraying Jesus? All right? Do we glow of Jesus? And matter of fact, Are people coming to be transformed through Jesus? That's really what matters. Is the word going out? Is people's lives being changed? Are they coming to Jesus? That's the ABCs of church. It's not too hard. Okay? Now, instead of, you know, my preferences, and you know when you do my preferences, look which way I'm pointing. My preference. It's all about inward. It's all about inward when we do my, what I want, what I'm entitled to, because, you know, I was one of the founding families. Okay? So I'm entitled. But what happens if we flip that and we become outward? What happens if we start thinking church on how do I get outward instead of, all right? And how about, oh my gosh, someone's going to come here today and I get to love them the way Jesus loves. That's outward instead of, you know, they changed the decorations. Not the way I like them. All right? The way I. All right? How about, oh my goodness, I get to touch people for Christ. How about, you know, the survey, the number one thing that kept churches inward, you'll lay on the floor, crack and scream. Here we go. The number one thing that kept churches, denomination churches, non-denominational churches, big churches, little churches, and even itty-bitty churches, guess what the number one thing that kept them inward, that they all fussed over? Music! Well, back when I got saved in the 70s, I want that music to be like that. Back in the 1600s, the organs, all right? That was the number one thing that kept churches inward. Music, all right? Listen, what's more important is people coming in, meeting Jesus, having their lives radically changed, and then they do the same thing. I really think that's the most important thing. Amen. All right? And I like 70s music. Don't get me started singing. All right? But, you know, I don't listen to it that much anymore. I love what they have. I love what Jesus Culture's out. Gosh, they've got some really great stuff. And I don't really care. It's about, how can I worship here that will touch a greater? That's what it's about, all right? Now, turn over to Mark chapter 9. That's our first scripture. Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 33. All right? Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 33. Y'all know that Jesus has disciples, right? He's got about 12 disciples. Right? And these guys had issues. Everybody say issues. And at one point, they were coming into this town, and they'd walked a long ways, came to this town, went into this house, and Jesus asked them a question. And I learned a long time ago, when Jesus asks a question, he already knows the answers. All right? So we asked the disciples, hey, boys, what were you discussing on the road? And you know what they were discussing on the road? They were having an argument. They were fussing and squabbling about who was going to be first, who was going to be the greater one in the kingdom of God. Now think about it. These are the boys that hung out with Jesus. Jesus' disciples. And they're arguing. I don't feel so bad some days. Okay? No, They're arguing, and they're arguing about a me first fight. That's really what it was. Me first, and they're having a fight. They're having a fight on who's going to be me first. Kind of entitlement, preference garbage, right? Attitude. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you know somebody, no pointing, know somebody who it's always their way or the highway? No pointing. How many of you know somebody who they're so strong in the things that they want, they're almost obnoxious? No pointing, no pointing. No, eyes straight ahead, Miss Shirley, you were looking. Look this way. Oh, I kid you. How many of you know people that like that? They are just so strong in what they want that unless they have what they want, they just don't even get involved. Case in point, anybody have little kids? It's time to play the board game, or it's time to play a game, and they all yell, me first, and then someone butts in and they're first and the other one stomps off. I'm not playing because I'm not first. Oh my gosh, little kids. Okay? But listen, little kids grow up to be big kids and they go into marriages. And how about some of these marriages where one spouse knows it all? It's their way and that poor other spouse. They can't even talk. Don't, eyes up front, no pointing. Okay. And you know, that's that same obnoxious thing that when it's all about me, it's all about what I want, all right, that's a really stinky attitude, isn't it? All right, now, those attitudes, when they come into a church, it's the quickest way to defeat, stop, slow down, put the brakes on what God really wants to do. God wants to do great things in every church, not just this church. But you get those attitudes in there, and it just puts the brakes on it. And you know why? Because it takes our eyes off of the one, Jesus, and it puts our eyes on me. Now, in kids, we're like, oh, they're just stupid kids. Untrained, all right? But, you know, you see big kids doing this, and you go, oh, my gosh, okay? So we want to get our eyes off of me. And now, back to my story, Mark chapter 9. I didn't get lost, all right? Mark chapter 9. Jesus had the exact same problem. I was like, good, I don't feel so bad. He had the exact same problem with his disciples in this verse, in these verses here. They were having a me first fight. I want to go first, me first, me first. I want to be the greater one, all right? Now, I'm going to, Carol, would you put the Message Bible up on this one? Oh, praise God. All right, they came, this is the Message Bible, and it just nails you to the floor. So I thought I'd read this one. They came to Capernaum, and when he was safe at home, he asked them, what were you discussing on the road, boys? Next. The silence was deafening. I have to say, things would go crazy in the house, and then Jack would raise his voice. Family meeting! Oh, man. They'd start coming out of their rooms, and they'd sit down in the living room, and it was really quiet because one of these things was going to go on. Family meeting! They had been arguing one with another over who among them was the greatest. He sat them down, family meeting, summoned them, the 12, and he said, so, you want to be first place? Then take the last place and be servant of all. Oh, you know, I read that and I go, oh, you get them, Jesus. Get those boys. You just nail them. And as I started to grow up in Christ, God was going, look at yourself. I was like, really? Really? Yeah. You know, he was talking to me. He's talking to us. This is about us. It's not just those boys. And you know what he's talking about? Hey, listen, you want to be great? You serve. And he didn't say serve me. He said serve others. You want to be first? Serve others. And it's not about my preferences and what I want all the time. Guys, there is about a billion things that go on here at YCF that I do not get first choice. Sometimes I don't get any choice. It's not about me. Okay? And we just, I go in serving. All right? So, what are we going to do when we come to church? What is our responsibility? What do you mean when you say, hey, we want everyone to be a part and serving? Well, it's really simple, really simple. What we're going to say is, Jesus, what do you want me to do? That's how you get it simple. You just go, Jesus, what do you want me to do? Jesus, what do you want me to do? All right? And now, he said, I will build my church. But guess what our job is? We're to help build the people he brings to the church, and we do that by serving. That's how you do it. It's not hard. It really isn't. So, if you're taking notes, I don't know if you're taking notes, but you want an extra 10 points, you can get into heaven. All right? When you get there. All right. Taking point. Number one, attitude. This is the Jesus attitude. And this is what Jesus' attitude was. This is what he just said up here. How can I help? Real simple. How can I help? Now, let me give you an example of how can I help. Have you ever gone out to a restaurant and you go there because you heard the food was good, and they come up and they say, "May I take your orders? What would you like to drink?" And I say, "Oh, I would like water, no ice, and a lemon." And they go, "No." And then they take my order, and I said, "Well, I'd like a salad with, can I have the dressing on the side?" And they go, "No." And then they finally get your food, and they start plopping it down, and then they disappear into the sunset until it's time to pay. Okay? Now, what kind of attitude do they have? Not. They have an attitude, all right? It's a not attitude. Now, let me tell you another story. Let me tell you this story. Years ago, it was when my dad passed away. You know, I'm from North Jersey, so we went back home to North Jersey, and we had a service. And my kids were little. I don't even think Cassie, she's my youngest one, was even in kindergarten. She might have been going into kindergarten that summer. So that meant they were 5, 7, 9, 11, 12, whatever, you know, every 2 years. How many kids do I have? Okay. And we went. Now, I love good Italian food, and you can't go too much better than you go to North Jersey. So I was tickled pink. We did our memorial service, and we all went out to dinner to this really nice restaurant. And it was a very small restaurant. It was half the size of this auditorium. And my sisters were with us, and they sat us down at the table, the four kids, two sisters, maybe I had three sisters, I don't know who was there then. And they come serving. The bread comes on the table. The butter. Do you want oil on your bread? This is Italian. And then they put cheeses and meats on here and foods. And it was, I would like ice. I would like water and no ice. Oh, certainly, ma'am. All right. And my kids, okay, you have four hungry kids. The bread basket was gone like that. Next thing, another bread basket down there. Man, you just turned around. They come and, you know, they. I think this was even one of those restaurants where you sit down and they put the napkin down for you. I don't do those very often. But let me tell you, that was like five-star treatment going on there. Anybody ever had a chance to do five or watch it on TV, okay? Listen, Cassie was so impressed. Now she's like five, that she says, "Mommy, when I grow up and big, I'm moving to New Jersey." I'm serious, and we kid her to this day. I said, "You're in Missouri. I think you forgot which direction." All right, but listen, she was so impressed, and their attitude was, "How can I help you? You need more water. You need more bread. You need this. Do you want more sauce? I mean, how can I help you?" As a matter of fact, their attitudes were just great. It was wonderful. Okay, the only difference was is they get paid to do that. Right? They get paid to do that. We paid them good. But listen, when you're planted in a church to be a part, to be functioning, you don't get paid, right? I am not slipping hundreds underneath anybody here. All right? You don't get paid. But listen, you get to do it for the honor. The honor of serving the Lord. The honor. That's why we do it. That's why we come to church and serve. It's the honor to serve Jesus, the one who died, came to earth, left heaven, came to earth, died on a cross, a horrific death, and paid the price for you, and he set you free, and he crowned you with just amazing things and blessed you. I get to do it for the honor of what Jesus has done for me, all right? Now, probably four years ago, and then 10 years after that, I used to volunteer in Spring Grove Middle School. I used to do a Bible club there. And do we do it once a week? Brain is on here. I have a great memory. We did it once a week, and I got rooked into it, manipulated, borderline lie, Jack Cashman. "Just come, Pat D. Just come once with me." 10 years later, okay, and he came twice. And then off in the sunset, dun, 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 and I was left there, okay? So we had two things. We had a Bible club in the morning, And then we had an outreach in the afternoon once a week. And you could get out of homeroom. And who wanted to be in homeroom and do your homework? You know what kind of kids I got. The ones that didn't want to be in homework and do their homework, okay? And Tom ended up by joining me for the 6 of those years. And he would minister. And you know what my job was? I preached once. It's because Tom didn't show up. My job was to serve. I set up 100 chairs. I cleaned up spitballs. I broke up fights. And every week I did this, not out of a ritual, but so the honor. I'd get into my car. Oh, yeah, we used to load up that sound system. Throw that baby in my car, you know. I get in my car, put my head on the steering wheel, and I would cry, God, thank you for the honor of serving you, for the honor of telling kids who you are, how much you love them, what you want to do in their life. Thank you for the honor of serving. Listen, I didn't stand behind the pulpit. I was a chair pusher. I used to sweep up afterwards, okay? Man, and it would bring me to tears every time. And one time I told Tom, and he said, did you ever look in the car next door? That was him. He put his head down. He'd go, God, thank you. Thank you for the honor and privilege of serving you. Man, it's so great. It's so great. So listen, when we come to church, it's not about me. It's about God. I want to serve you and love people the way you love them. What an honor. What an honor. Okay? Jeez. And I wasn't getting paid back then for that. Just want you to know, all right? All right, next scripture. Turn over to 1 Peter, will you? We're talking about attitudes. 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. Hebrews, James, Peter. Back of your book. 1 Peter 4. We're talking about attitude. Man, an opportunity, an honor to serve, an attitude, right? 1 Peter 4:10. Here we go. Boy, I'd like to start up, Father, but okay, let's do 10. As each one of you has received a gift. Okay. Each one of you guys, it says, has received what? Some of you have received a gift. Only the boys received a gift. Only if your favorite color is red, you received a gift. No, it says each one of you has received a gift. And you know what? You may not even know what your gift is, but guess what? You got a gift. Right? Okay, so everybody say, I have a gift from God. Okay, each one of you has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Okay. Okay, so each one of you got a gift. What are you supposed to do with it? Hide it under a bushel? No! I'm going to let it shine. Okay? Okay, each one of you has a gift. What are you supposed to do? Minister to one another. Serve one another. That's what it means. So you have a gift. And it talks about being a good steward. Stewardship means God gave you a gift to do something with it, to produce with the gift that he gave you. You have to do something with the gift God gave you, okay? And you're supposed to be good stewards, so you don't hide it, you don't sit on it, you don't lock it in a closet, all right? So everybody, raise your hand if you have a gift from God. Everybody has a gift from God, and you are supposed to serve people with it, all right? Now, let's see, let me do it again. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus. All right, to him be the glory and honor forever. Okay, one of my translations says here is that God gives a variety of gifts. A variety of gifts. Have you ever gone to BJ's and bought the big variety pack of those little packs of potato chips? They got the hot burning kind. They got the sour cream and vinegar kind. It's a variety pack. All right? So God gives gifts to every one of them. You have a gift from God, but there's a variety of gifts. All right? So that means that not everybody is going to be singing on the worship team. Thank you, Jesus. You sound great in the shower. All right? But the variety, you didn't get the vinegar and whatever, potato chip bag to sing on the worship team. But that doesn't mean there's also a variety of opportunities to minister to one another, to minister to people. So this is not the only thing that God wants people to do. You know? And you go, thank goodness. Because I don't want to listen to you sing, right? Okay, so different ways that you use your gift to minister, to serve. I've asked a couple of people this, and I'd like to do more, is thanks to Pastor Jim Law and Second Chance Ministries, I'm really aware of people that are incarcerated. And occasionally, Pastor Jim passes on my name, and they write to me. And obviously, he passes on the females, and they write to me, and I get to write to them back. But I would like people to say, oh, I love writing. Because, you know, Pastor D, it's not my favorite, writing. I actually bought the book, How to Say It. It's this book, this thick. I have one at home and one in my office. How to say thank you. How to say sympathy. How to say all sorts of things. Because it takes me a while to do that. But how about if that's your variety, that's your gift, and you feel like, oh, I would like to write to people who are incarcerated to encourage them. Okay? How about, how about you have the green thumb and you like gardening? And you go, Pastor D, looks really poor out front door. I go, I know. And God just, you're the variety that would like to chop off those dead things and make it look real pretty, all right? Or how about you're the variety that you just love babies. You love babies. You like the way they smell even after they spit up. You could care less about a diaper. And you go, Pastor D, I'm the variety. And I'm going, good, go see our nursery worker, Shauna, okay? And I got to the point where is your baby is cute, but I don't want to, all right? You know, four kids later, I got to that place, okay? But I like them now. I like them now, okay? I don't know what your variety is, but you have to pray and say, God, how can I help? How can I help honor the one who's given me everything? All right, and maybe yours is teaching, and maybe yours is praying. I don't know what your maybe is. You have to ask God. You have to ask God and say, God, oh, how can I help? All right, and then you can call me up, write me, and we'll figure out the rest. All right. So there are a variety of gifts, and there are a variety of ways to serve. All right, let's see. Let's do a little attitude checkup. Have you ever been around somebody who has an attitude at work? Praise God, hopefully not at home. But, you know, at work, you walk on eggshells around that attitude person, all right? And, it's just not really fun to be around them, right? And then you walk into these stores, and they go, hi, my name is Dee. How can I help you? What are you looking for? You're looking for this? Oh, follow me. I will serve you. All right? Have you ever been to those places? I'll tell you what. I go out in the world, and I go into these places, and I go, shoot, man, the church's got to get better. They got it. I go to this chiropractor, and I finally got smart. Every time I go in, they go, wow, I really like your shoes. And I go, oh, these, you gotta see, these are so cute today. They got a bow, and they got sparkles, you know, like that. But all of a sudden, I was like, and I would go, oh, how nice. But I was like, duh, they do that every time you come, Dee. I was like, really? Okay, but you know, it's part of serving. Because I was like, ooh, I feel great. They know it's my show. Okay, I don't know what they say to you. That's what they say to me. Okay, and you can imagine what they said about Sherry, because the girl's crazy shoes. Right? I walk into my bank, and you know, every one of those girls and Al Hi, Mrs. Cashman. Hi, Mrs. Cashman. It's like, wow. And wonderful. And now I got them trained. Just call me D. Mrs. Cashman is over there. I just call me D. So they go, hi, D. How are you? Service. Attitude. They got good attitudes, okay? They get paid for that one, all right? Now, last scripture, Philippians 2. Last scripture, Philippians 2. I'm going to sort of close, sort of. Soon, maybe. Lock the doors. Philippians 2, 5 through 9. Philippians 2, 5 through 9. Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See that word, let this mind? That word, you translate it, I'm going to impress you. With the Greek, it means attitude. So write, change yours and write, let this attitude. Only thing, this is the attitude that you like. Let this attitude that was in Christ Jesus be in you. Wow. Let this attitude. Said, oh, let this brain. No, let this attitude be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Another translation says, the attitude you should have is the one that Christ Jesus had. So in other words, guys, you need to have the same attitude that Jesus had. Okay, now listen, when Paul writes this, it's nice to tell me, D, you need to have this attitude, but then I would like to know what attitude. So this is the next part. Paul writes and tells you what kind of attitude. He says, okay, verse 6, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal to God. Verse 7, but this is the attitude he had, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant. That's the attitude he had. Coming in the likeness of men, that's the attitude he had. And being found in his appearance as a man, the attitude. He humbled himself, and became obedient. I think I lost my place. And being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. Four attitudes Jesus had. Number one, write this down. He did not consider himself, his position, he did not consider his position with God to take advantage. Okay, what I mean is, have you ever been, oh gosh, remember my kids, my only one kid who played sports, but you'd get on a sports and the coach had a kid, and that kid always had a starting position, and they didn't play good. That coach, or that kid and the coach, used their position to take advantage. Anybody ever have that happen? Right? I remember one of my kids saying, this kid out in college got in trouble, but because of who his dad was and the money, they took advantage. Everybody else would have been booted out. All right? So Jesus, I could just see Jesus going, I am the Son of God. Serve me. He didn't take advantage of who he was. He came, his attitude was to serve. All right? That's the attitude we're supposed to have. Number two, write this down. He emptied himself and assumed the form of a slave. Object lesson. When you are so full of me, 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 and you finally empty all of that, you can finally serve others. Empty. Jesus, that's what he did. He emptied himself and he came to serve others. Jesus, the Son of God. Woohoo! Okay, so that's the same attitude, all right? And you know, it's so funny. When I empty all my preference, my entitlement, it's just really easy to serve people. It's a piece of cake. But, you know, it's stuffed full of the me, I want. Okay, so number three. Jesus humbled himself. John 13. John 13 is the story where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. John 13. You talk about humble. So the story goes, they're all ready to have dinner, and I think they had dinner. That's right, they had dinner. They did the communion. Okay, I'm skipping fast. And he takes off his robe, and he puts on a servant's towel, and he gets down, and he washes everybody's feet. Now, listen, it's not supposed to be an ordinance in the church. We now have a new church ordinance, and we're going to go wash everybody's feet. No, he was trying to teach them to serve. And what he was doing is, he could have served bread to everybody. But he was teaching them is that, because back then, they didn't hop in their pretty little cars and drive here and hop out and walk on the sidewalk and go into the store and hop back in the car and drive here and go on the sidewalk and on the blacktop. They walked around in dirty roads. And they had animals on those roads, so it was really dirty. So when you came to the house, the servant would come up and wash your feet. The servant, the Son of God, the servant, washed their feet. And he said, you want to be great? Go be a servant. That's humble, all right? So how could I not? How could I not want to serve? Okay, last one. Oh, let's see my last one. That was a good one. Jesus, and it's in verse 8 or 9. Let me look. Verse 9, 8. Jesus became obedient to the point of the death. Point of death. So what's that mean? Listen. He didn't care that he just left everything and gave everything to die on a cross. To the point of death. That was his attitude. I give it all up for you. I give it all up for you. Some of you, that's like dying. Dying. I'm going to give up my wants, my kind of thing. That's what it means, all right? So, how can I help? How can I serve? For me, Pastor D, my job is to serve and empty myself out and serve you the Word of God. That's my number one job. Now, listen, I do a whole bunch of other jobs. Some jobs I shouldn't be doing. I am not climbing any more ladders because I fell off of one. Because I was impatient and in sin, okay? All right, but so I do a lot of jobs. But my number one job, guys, is to serve you, feed you the Word of God, all right? So you need to ask yourself, what is your job? God, how can I serve? And listen, I'd love to tell you. Better yet, I'd like to make you. But we found out making people do things doesn't produce good fruit, all right? Tried it with my kids. Listen, where's that quote? Did I get, Carol, can you pop that up, that quote? Okay, I heard this pastor say this, and I wrote it down really fast. I don't know who said it, but he was copying somebody else. So, the unknown, look at this. A bad attitude is like a flat tire. You can't go anywhere until you change it. When you come and serve, and you don't have an attitude to serve, we're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere, all right? But you change that attitude, and you come in and you go, God. Matter of fact, you come into your family, you walk into your home, and you go, God, how do I serve? How do I serve my spouse? How do I serve my teens? How do I serve my teens to bring everybody home for dinner, you know, with a smile, all right? Spaghetti, all right? But how do I serve? Listen, how do I serve in my workplace? Not just because I get a paycheck, but I go to humble myself and serve as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I serve my boss? Okay? You start serving your boss, your coworkers in God the way God tells you, okay? Don't go goofy, all right? You start doing that, and then I'm telling you, God notices that. And then God just moves things, and you got a promotion because you were serving Jesus in your workplace. Okay, some of you are going, but Pastor D, I'm in hell. No, you're not. You're on the planet. May feel like it. But listen, you go in with that servant attitude. Hell will leave. It says that light, darkness could not overcome light. You go, oh, Pastor D. No, that's what the word says. Darkness could not overcome the light. All right, and you are the light. You go in there serving. You go in there serving. All right, how do I wrap up here? All right, so week one, we made some pledges. What's our first one? I pledge I will be a functioning member in a local church. How about let's all say that? I will be a functioning member in a local church. By the way, those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. It doesn't say that you skim the cream off the top of everybody's church. You get planted, all right? So you get planted in a church, you start being a functioning, active member. Wow, big things happen. Number two, last week, I'll say it, will be a church member who causes only, well, unity. That was supposed to be unity. That was my bad writing. Unity and strives for unity. Sorry about that. I give this thing scribbled out to Carol. That was my handwriting. All right. So I will be a church member who causes unity and strives only for unity. Number three, I will be a member in my local church who serves Christ and serves others. Guys, we start, how about, you know, instead of people come in and you go, whoa, sitting in my seat, move it. They are not assigned seats in this church, okay? I don't even have assigned seats. Every time I plop around, okay, how about somebody walks in. Oh, let me back up. Sunday night, we are doing a 10-week course called Marriage on the Rock. And the adults are upstairs. We've got engaged people, people married a little bit, a long bit, whatever, upstairs, and we throw this on. But guess what those parents had? Kids! So I am doing children's church Sunday night. I'm having the time of my life. First week was a little shocking. I haven't done that in a long time, so I had to adjust here. But you know what I'm doing? I teach them the exact same thing I dished out to you. Only thing, they get better snacks. Last week we did a Rice Krispie Man, and we chopped his leg off. And I said, what happens when you chop the leg off of the Rice Krispie Man? We're not in unity. We're not the body. Okay, so you missed the Rice Krispies. But this is what I taught them last week about serving and being in unity and being an active member. I said, how about, well, let me tell the story, and then I gave them the how about. Years ago, Jack and I went on a trip/mission. Let's go scuba diving, squeeze something in there, okay? So we went on a scuba diving trip to Curacao. It's at the top part of South America. And we figured, hey, while we're there, why don't we speak at a church? So leave it to Jack Cashman. Figure out some way to preach the gospel and go scuba diving. The diving was incredible. But we spoke at a church, and I told this story. I tell this to my greeters all the time. We spoke at a church. The pastor was going to be out of town. Let me tell you a little bit about Curacao. Curacao was originally, or probably the last 300 years, was a Dutch-ruled country, and then it got its freedom. So the Dutch took it over. So Pennsylvania Dutch, you know, cold, old, frozen, half-dead, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay, and then we have the natives. They're not natives, the locals. That sounds so bad. Okay, so that's what Curacao's all about, all right? So we go there to speak at the church, and the pastor is a white pastor with a Dutch history, his roots, but the congregation is predominantly the locals, okay? So it's a good mix. So we walk in, and by the way, they start, you know what time they start church? 8:30 in the morning. 8:30, and I thought, gee, they must have a second service. They said, no, we don't have AC. So we start at 8:30 so you don't bake. So we get there early because we're the guest. You know, our guests, they always come early. And we walk in, and people are coming in. We walk in, and nobody says hello. So we walk in, and we sit down in the front, and we're early because we're the guest. And I'm talking, Jack, we're at the wrong place. We're sitting there 20 minutes, and nobody comes up to us. And I am beating him with my tongue. We're at the wrong place. I know it. Just go outside and look. So I keep doing this. Finally gets tired of me. He stands up. Church has not started because we're early. We're the guests. Walks out. I said, go look at the front door. I saw a sign. Comes back in. He says, Dee, this is the right place. You laugh, but I was dying on the inside. Every button of rejection was screaming. They don't like me. They don't love me. They're not going to listen to me. Okay. But how about, and this is what I was teaching my kids downstairs, every time you see somebody, you go, hi, my name is Dee. Come and sit with me. And not just to the guest. Hi, Miriam. How are you? Come and sit with me. Or somebody walks in and they got a ton of kids. Hi, my name is Dee. I see you got kids. Duh. Can I show you where the children's ministry is and I'll tell you what time they start? I'm Pastor D. I can't tell you how many people I still got to go up here, have walked downstairs to show them where the children's ministry is, introduce them to the children's minister that their child's going to have, bring them back up, and I sit them down. And they think Pastor D's amazing. But how about, I shouldn't be doing that, right? Yeah, I know. I'm supposed to be in prayer, getting all ready and psyched for this service, all right? But I love it. But how about you start fighting over serving people? Okay? Wow. And then we start changing one life at a time, one family at a time. They get overwhelmed with the love of God. And they want more of this, and they come back, and they get born again. And then they go to their families, which are really goofed up, and they start getting changed, and their family starts getting changed, and then their community gets changed. And then we got a move of God, and we are on the map. That's right. Isn't that awesome? That's what I see. How about you guys? Amen. Let's pray. Father, what an honor to be called by your name. What an honor, Father, that you loved so big that you went after us. What an honor. What a joy. What a wow. It's not an honor. It's a wow. And I thank you, Father, that the words that we have heard today, Father, are planted in our minds, planted in our hearts, Father. And we humble ourselves and say, God, how can I serve you? And how can I serve as a member of this local body? I thank you, Father, you just turn us inside out. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I love you guys. Wouldn't want to do anything else. Tried to do some other things, couldn't do it. All right, I love you. I am honored to be your pastor. Go out and serve. All right, amen. Rest of you guys, some of you I'll see tonight. Rest of you guys, bring people. Guess what next week is?